As a plant-based cheese company, Daiya has never talked about beef in an ad before, because someone somewhere once had a beef with saying beef and plant-based together. So putting a slice of Daiya cheese on a beef burger, not okay. Well, our delicious melty cheese has a beef with your beef about beef, because any step towards plant-forward eating is a step in the right direction. Daiya, 100% plant-based, even if you're not. Now made with Daiya Oat Cream Blend.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, AfterBuzz TV fans! Welcome to another episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. AfterBuzz After Show. Tonight we are talking about Season 3, Episode 4, Devils You Know. How are we all doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
I don't know, so many things.
A little frustrated.
I'm a little angry. I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little angry.
Archie might be a little blue.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little blue.
Like a Cree. I thought you meant like the blue bag, for biological, right?
All right, guys, we've got a lot to talk about tonight, and we also have a wonderful guest joining us in the studio, but first let me introduce my fantastic panel, Jesse Klein.
Hi, I'm Jesse Klein. You can find me on Twitter at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
Zach Wilson.
You guys, thank you for tuning in, guys. I'm Zach Wilson. You can tweet at me at that Zach Wilson, TheZachWilson.
Joyce Ajuri.
So glad to be back for another week of S.H.I.E.L.D. You can find me on Twitter at JAJOUR. That's Jay Ajuri.
And I'm your host, Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. Joining us in the studio is the fantastic Daz Crawford, who plays Kibo on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Good evening, everybody.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's good to be here. It's actually quite funny watching you guys. thing and I just feel like I'm out of the corner.
You know, like, I already know everything, and you guys are just learning for the first time.
Right, great.
Having known what was going to happen in the episode, were you watching us more than you were watching the episode?
Oh, it's great. It's great to watch people that don't know what's going to happen. You can see your faces and, you're sad and you're happy and you're excited and you're angry. And then the commercial comes on and then, all these things keep going on. I'm thinking, I know what's going to happen now.
Nice. I have to say, in the show, Kibo's very mean, but I actually want to hang out with you in real life. You're super nice.
Yeah, I get cast for villain stuff. And bad guy. I think that goes on the physicality and on my size. But I do like to do different things, not just bad guy things.
No, you do an awesome job on the show, though.
He does seem like nice by Hydra standards.
I mean, he's following a set of rules.
Well, maybe there's more to go. Maybe there's more that you don't know. So maybe he's going to go somewhere else.
It's true. He might have an entire character arc that we are completely unaware of.
Next episode, it's not on the planet with Gemma. It's just we see what happens with your character.
It's the story of Kibo and Ward and how they came together.
Yeah. Then the chat roll is like, where is Ward, you bastard?
Yeah, I remember when I first came on the first episode, it wasn't a great introduction. So, I get Ward smashes me against the bar. So, it's not as tight a relationship as what you might think.
Yeah, it's pretty bad first impression. But, I mean, I imagine he earned your respect at that point, right?
Yeah, well, I came back, didn't I?
Fair enough.
Well, if any of you guys happen to have any questions for our fantastic guests, we are going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTVShield. And, of course, Zach will, as always, will be keeping an eye on the live chat.
Got you guys.
So let's go ahead and get into it. Guys, I really enjoyed this opening scene, and I wanted to get your guys' initial thoughts, because I never thought we were going to see Alicia again, and then we had this really great action-oriented scene as a way to kick off the episode.
Yeah, I mean, seeing Alicia in action again, and seeing, like, her, like, that entire thing was so quick, but, like, to have her dupe die duplicate, it's what they use with Jamie Madrick's Multiple Man.
I want that power so bad.
Seeing her duplicate die and, like, seeing that she feels it at the same time was super intense. Like, no wonder she's, like, out of commission or whatever, because she just experienced death.
I mean, that's got to be one of the most surreal inhuman powers to have a part of you completely die, feel it, and then just like wake up the next day.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money, up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Having to move forward.
Yeah.
I think of every character on the show who's suffering from some sort of PTSD, like, she's definitely going through a really hard time with that. I mean, her power is, like, super in-depth. It's pretty crazy. It was cool to get more insight into what she can do.
I like that we got into the psychology a little bit of those kinds of powers. Because we often jump past what you get from just, like, duplicating yourself. Oh, you can go off on different missions. You can fight people at multiple people at the same time or gang up on somebody. But to get into the intense, like, psychological insanity behind watching a version of you die.
In fact, a piece of you.
Well, and imagine being, if there were two of them in the same place, where you literally watch yourself die.
That would be awful.
Well, with Multiple Man, it eventually became where it was like every duplicate was a part of his personality. So if one of them died, that part of his personality was gone forever.
So if his sense of humor died, he'd never laugh again?
Yeah, like that part of his personality was gone.
That's awful! Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, and that's twisted stuff.
Yeah, man.
So twisted.
X Factor.
Not to show my nerd card, but it reminds me a lot of Pacific Rim, how you have these two pilots who are mentally connected, and if one of them dies in the middle of a battle, the other person feels it and kind of experiences it with them.
Yeah.
Only, again, this is a little bit different because, again, this was a part of her. It was her. That's so weird to think about.
Yeah.
But we had this poor couple, too. Shane and Laurie Hansen, who just this very well-functioning inhuman couple. They're not hurting anybody. They're just minding their own business.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Lash comes in and literally, without a word, just kills all three of them. And so, like, again, we kind of are questioning, why is Lash doing this? Why does he feel like this is his mission? And even later on in the episode, we get the words from him, "I'm not merciful, I'm necessary."
Yeah.
I mean, the implication, I guess, is that he's culling the herd, that he's going out and taking, and like, it depends on, I guess, what his end game is. We don't know. Like, in the books, his end game is to pick the strongest, like, get rid of the weak, but it doesn't seem like he's, well, he was going after Lincoln. We don't know what for what purpose. If he was going to kill Lincoln, then the killing the weakest doesn't really hold up, because Lincoln's pretty powerful.
But he had a chance to kill Daisy. And he walked away.
Did he, though? Because you could argue that he just knew he was going to be bested. Because she blasted him back.
I don't know.
He either thought that she was going to beat him up anyway, or he's like he weighed his options, thought maybe he didn't have time to engage in an altercation, or maybe he's on a time limit for how long he can actually use his powers.
That's
since
true.
Since we know he transformed.
Exactly.
And oh, it's
we
like Animorphs.
Have...
He only
yeah.
has 2 hours
he only has 2 hours.
Last form.
And then he's stuck as a red-tailed hawk.
I thought when we were watching it that he just didn't see her.
That might have been He might have thought she was dead already.
I think it's great how you guys are all trying to decipher so many millions of options.
This is torture.
We actually have a prediction from somebody in the hashtag. Save Camilla, a.k.a. at Shipping Things on Twitter, thinks that Kibo is Lash.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
That wow. would be a very interesting way to make the two storylines tie together, right?
That would be...
That's good, isn't it? I mean, wow.
So then who's in charge, Ward or Kibo?
That would be so great if it turns out Kibo's manipulating Ward all this time.
Play some strings.
There's another theory that somebody just tweeted at me from Calvin Johnson. Have you heard the theory that Lash is Trip?
What?
No.
I'm not saying I agree with it. I would personally feel cheated.
Yeah.
I think it would weaken his death.
Yeah.
I think that Trip is dead.
Sorry, guys.
But it is a nice thought to entertain.
Yeah.
My leading theory is that Lash is the guy, like the lieutenant in the ATCU.
They definitely set that up. They definitely primed us
I'm
for
not giving
that.
Anything away.
I know he's stonewalling us, folks. We're not getting anything.
I'm just listening to your options.
Don't play poker with this man.
They definitely put him. Like, there's a reason they took him out of the truck.
Yeah.
The question is just if that's a red herring.
Yeah, it might be a red herring.
It smells like a red herring to me.
It does, yeah.
It smells fishy.
Yeah.
I mean, they bring up the point he could be anybody.
Yeah.
And then
I think he's Abraham Lincoln.
I mean, not to give away spoilers, but did anybody read Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter?
No.
Zach knows what I'm talking about. Yeah. Anyway, that's a completely different conversation for a completely different day. But we do have another question from the hashtag for you, Daz. Jillian Davila wants to know what it's like working with the cast on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, great question. When I was originally cast on the last series, which was the first time I met everybody, everybody was so warm, welcoming, the crew, the cast, everybody. I had such, you know, you're working on different shows all the time. Going on to S.H.I.E.L.D., brilliant. I can't fault it. It's just, you know, it's a pleasure going to work. That's what I would say. So they are really good. And obviously, you know, you don't have time to speak to everybody every day, and you only see certain characters certain days that you go in. Typically myself and Ward are typically working together, so we're on it a lot, so you kind of end up hanging out with those guys or girls, but you know, a really really good team, really good team, can't fault it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's nice.
What's it like going in and working on a project that's kind of like an established world? Like, Marvel has so many, like, fans and, like, it's an established universe. Like, what's it like? Is it kind of intimidating?
Well, I worked on another Marvel movie years ago. I was in Blade 2.
Oh, awesome.
So,
Which is the best one.
Yeah, that is the best one.
I played Lighthammer. So,
awesome.
You know, but it was a movie. So it's a one-off, you know, 3 months shooting probably on a television show, coming in when it's already established. I'm not an introverted person, so, you know, I'll talk to anybody.
Yeah.
And you walk into the room on the first reading and all the cast are there, production and everybody's there, you know, and you kind of, you know, some people are quite open and, you know, meet you, and then as the days turn into weeks, you start talking to everybody. So it wasn't difficult. They're just people. We're all just people.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like, you know, unless you've got somebody that's a bit anal who's, you know, prima donna-ish. But there isn't anybody. Everybody's, you know, everybody's, it's good, it's nice. And you know, it's warm. When I go in, it's warm to talk to everybody.
That's really cool. You said you really enjoy the writing of the show, which I think we can all agree is amazing.
Yes.
So when you guys are all sitting there, and I always ask this, like, when you guys are all sitting there at the table reads, is everyone just always reacting to the way that, you know, the writer sort of surprised?
It must always be
a surprise.
You go in, and we have a reading every week, and you sit down, and you turn in the page over for the first time, and you don't know what's going to happen to your character. You have no idea. You really don't.
You're like, is this the day I go?
You just don't know. You just don't know, and it's so secretive, and you're like, wow, oh, okay, and it makes you want to turn the next page, and you know, it is definitely blind. You're going in blind, and you don't know what's going to happen, which is, you know, it's exciting.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's a bit crap when you know you've got to pay the bills. Your job might come to the end, you know, of the job now. But other than that, it's good, you know, we like it.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it is a job.
It's a fun job. It's really good fun, yeah.
It's awesome.
I'm interested in seeing, actually, how this dynamic between the two of them, because Ward is so, in a weird way, dead set on making Hydra an evil version of S.H.I.E.L.D. even more so than it already was, like implementing S.H.I.E.L.D. values and levels of secrecy and everything like that, which is interesting because I thought Hydra would have kind of had that already, but like the idea that Hydra could actually become like literally like the Nega S.H.I.E.L.D. is very, very interesting and kind of weird.
Nega S.H.I.E.L.D.
I mean, it, like, again, implementing S.H.I.E.L.D. values and like structures and procedures into everything that they do because that's what Ward knows. It's weird, but at the same time, it's very intriguing that he's trying to kind of bring that family feel into it.
Yeah, you know, he was a good guy. He turned bad, and you know what he wants. You know what his goals are.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Can't say.
So is Kivo sort of his, like, answer to May? Like, is Kivo to Ward as May is to Coulson?
I'm kind of his right-hand man. I am his right-hand man, you know. It's, you know, he's always, I'm the guy who does the jobs, and I go back and report to him. So if you're going to compare the relationship, there's a similar relationship. It's just that, you know, it's not, I don't think, the dynamic is not the same, definitely not the same, but there's definitely a connection, you know.
It's a bromance forming.
Well, speaking of shipping, we actually have a shipping related question from Andrew Fedge on the hashtag. He wants to know, does Kibo ship Phil Coulson and Roz? I'm going to go ahead and probably assume not, because why would you ship the enemy together? But that's just me. That's just me making an assumption.
You've got to ask the writers for that, because I don't know where that's going to go. I would not, you know, envisioning something like that is quite extreme.
The chat roll's talking about that, too, because Micah Coleman says, let's talk about the Netflix and chill relationship between Rosalind and Coulson.
let's talk about that, because they have this weird mutual agreement where they're going to help each other out, but they don't trust each other, so everybody's hiding information and slowly having to let go of that. And it's this interesting power play between the two of them where they're both trying to be in control of the situation, but they both have to acknowledge that they can't do this without what the other one knows. But there's a little bit of flirting going on, and it's like, where are they going with this? Are they just having fun, or is this legitimate power play stuff?
I know I said it the first episode, but I'll say it again. Like, it reminds me so much of, like, Joss Whedon-style writing, where it's like, you know, these two people who are so cool and in control of their situation, and they're just, like, trying to find ways to bounce the power back off each other. Like, it just reminds me of, like, Firefly or Buffy. Like, totally. It's very similar style, that type of writing with these two characters.
Well, it's especially interesting within this episode because, as you see, the parallels between Ward and Coulson very clear on the surface. You're also seeing the commonalities between Coulson and Rosalind because they sort of have the same goal. Ward and Coulson might have a similar operating procedure, but Rosalind and Coulson have the same goal. I think probably even similar beliefs in terms of like how people should be treated, but just a different approach. One is more defensive, one is more offensive, like a shield and a sword.
I mean one is definitely more like bureaucratic, like Roz. Yeah. Like she is connected to the government, so yeah, like she really has to do things a certain way. She doesn't have the luxury that Coulson has, where he's the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, he's not answering to anyone right now.
And she's got the president breathing down her neck. That's kind of a lot of pressure.
I like their back and forth. I like that she's basically a mirror image of him. But I also feel like she's also playing off of him because I have this idea that she doesn't know exactly why she's getting this information. Like, she has yet to find out, like, what this information, like, is actually going to be used for. Because she's never actually answered that question. Every time it gets presented to her by Coulson or whoever else, she has no answer. She dodges it or evades it, and it's just I don't know. I think their banter is going to change once she finds out, like, exactly what that information is going to be used for.
I also really like how Coulson, like, gets all serious when she's around. Like, he didn't call Mac. He called him Agent McKenzie.
Yeah, that was weird.
And Agent Johnson.
Suit on straight?
Yeah, like...
Official. Became official.
Yeah, he's got to put on airs for this lady.
Do you think he has a crush? Do you think that's what it comes down to?
I don't know if he... I think if it is a crush, it's like a professional crush. It's like, this is a lady who is his equal, which someone who is in Coulson's position doesn't really meet anyone like that.
He's probably really upset he can't do his tie.
He's probably very upset he can't do a tie.
I mean, the thing is, I feel like he's sort of struggling in this position because he is very much not in control of this situation. She has the ability, if she wanted to, she could bring the U.S. government down on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Sure.
And that's sort of the gray area that S.H.I.E.L.D. is in this universe. And in a lot of versions of the story is, where does their power come from? Like, are they...
Their financing.
Are they...
Iron Man.
Not even the financing, but where, like... Do they get the right? Like, the questions that we dealt a lot with in season 2 of, is this a terrorist organization or an illegal vigilante organization? Why does S.H.I.E.L.D. get to be the police of these people? They're not run by the government, but they're operating within our borders. So in a very real way, the U.S. government should want to stop them.
Yeah.
Now, and where she has, you know, the administration on her side... Coulson has information. Like, I really enjoyed the idea of Dwight Fry being a government employee, like, working right under their nose. And I actually really like the idea of Lash potentially being a member of the ATCU. And that's how he's getting all his information.
Yeah, and they're just...
Because he had the names. Dwight just tracked them down.
Yeah, yeah, they're just out of their depth.
He's just laughing at him, guys.
No, because... You know, listening to, you know, I want Lash to be this guy. And I want Lash to be that.
When it's you all along.
I know who it is.
I hope at least one of us is close.
It's going to be so funny when we get the reveal. It's going to be so great.
You guys make fun of me for my pie-in-the-sky theories, but it's just a way to stay safe. If I try and do a real
theory...
Pie-in-the-sky
is not safe. It's adventurous.
But yeah, so we... we have this really interesting back and forth in it. I love the conversations that we get between Mac and Daisy too, because now they're being forced to be caught in the middle. And I loved the family comparison that we had in the last episode of like Coulson and Roz are the parents, and these are the kids that don't want to hang out with mom right now.
Well, I think it's interesting because you can see how frustrated Daisy is that they're working with this organization that they just don't know any information about, and she's wanting to protect her people. And I think that might lead to the future Daisy keeping information from Coulson. Like things like, you know, Lash turning back into a human. Like if she doesn't want the ATCU to find out about it, she might keep that information to herself.
Yeah, she did. Especially if she thinks it could be anybody, which again, it means it could be somebody working within the ATCU. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Could be somebody that we've met before, but not in a while. Like
could be a SHIELD intern.
What if it's Talbot? Who knows?
Could be anybody.
Oh, Talbot.
Speaking of interns, did you guys see some extras walking around behind Andrew earlier? I was like, there are new people in that office.
Yeah. Because
last season we saw someone that we'd never seen before, and she was just in the background.
It was really funny. Last season we saw a scene where like a really intense fight was going on, and there's just an extra in the background just looking really uncomfortable. And we're like, who are they?
And it was during the part of the show where it was like there was no one on the team. Like there were five people.
They had
on
had
the
significant
team.
Losses. It made no sense that they just had this random intern just being awkward in the corner.
So yeah, today I saw a couple more in the background.
All right, good.
But yeah, so we talked about Daisy and Mac. Since you mentioned Andrew, let's talk a little bit about Andrew before things get too emotional.
I just want to say, we talked about this, I think, a couple episodes back. Somebody commented on our YouTube video for that episode. They were saying that Ward is going to go after Andrew because, you know, he's got that grudge against May, sort of being responsible for Agent 33's death, and he was going to go after Andrew. So they were right that he was going to go after Andrew, but do we know he's dead? We don't know. So we talked about that, and I was like, that was predicted.
Yeah. I don't buy it. I don't buy that he's dead for a moment.
When we saw that scene, and we mentioned that like we didn't see Andrew's face, so it's probably not him. I'm going to say it's not him, too.
This is Marvel. No body, no death.
Yeah,
comic foot doesn't count.
Although, book rules apply. Like, why would they not show his face?
Yeah.
Like, what's the reason for
that? Maybe they felt like
face?
If it had a bullet there, it was too graphic, but...
No, this is a show that had us watch the entire dissection of a character.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That's true. That was pretty gross.
But remember Jia-Ying. It was the most gross. Graphic thing I think I've ever seen on ABC. So they're not holding
true.
Back.
I will
or
say
what
that
happened with Bobby when she was being tortured.
Oh, that was
yeah.
the worst.
Or yeah, no, that was super awful. But to your point, Zach, we didn't see that this was Andrew's face, and Von Strucker running away. He didn't exactly look triumphant. He didn't exactly look like a job well done, and that might just be having killed somebody.
And the other guy didn't run out with him either.
So it could just be that things went poorly and that, you know, he ran away in a panic and that's what happened. We didn't see anybody else running away either, so who knows what could have happened. But, I mean, this is a show that, and as much as people like to say Trip is still alive, as much as people like to keep that hashtag going, and I know it hurts, guys, we saw him crumble to pieces. And so this is a show where if there's a character who's dead, they will show us. Yeah. They will show us. They're like, we know it's Marvel. Here, they're dead.
Unless it's invisible.
Don't encourage them.
Don't encourage them. But also, no, also, I mean, think he's
from
dead.
A tactical standpoint, Ward is a nice, or no, Andrew is a nice is a nice asset.
Wow.
Ward is a nice guy. No, Andrew's
you can take that back.
Andrew's a nice asset to have. Like he, like number one, you don't want May to go on a rampage against you. Like that's. That's not a thing you would enjoy. She's the cavalry. number two, like, if in the future, like, if you need to have some leverage over her and she's in mourning and thinks that her ex-husband is dead, and then all of a sudden you're like, actually, no, I've got him in the secret bunker.
That's
like, that's a really good pawn to have in your overall scheme.
Oh, yeah. I also like how they set it up earlier when Coulson was telling May, I can replace Andrew. I can't replace you. So the whole setup of the possibility of Andrew being compromised and then like actually showing the explosion happen of the store he was at, it was a good way to kind of fool us.
We all did laugh at the not secret agent, like just I'm a secret agent, don't worry.
Hiring only the best and brightest of Hydra, right?
Like, come on, bro. You like you gotta like tilt it a little bit.
But at
like,
least look like you're texting.
But in
this day and age, is it really strange to see someone holding up their phone? Like that.
He's also staring at Andrew, not at the phone.
Yeah, it's not even like he was pretending to FaceTime. Like, he wasn't... no attempt
that
made
was
whatsoever.
We, so funny.
We all just laughed.
Yeah. I will say, though, in the moment, I expected... And they cut away before he would have done this, but I expected Andrew to sort of take these guys down. Because he's old school SHIELD. Like, he's from the old days of SHIELD. And even a psychologist, like, would have had to go through some sort of basic training, I assume.
Maybe that's what happened.
Yeah. Also, just living with May, of all people.
I imagine she would have taught him some stuff.
Yeah, she would. He would know something that could help him defend himself. And the kid runs away so, like, freaked out.
He used his psychology on him.
he didn't even throw a punch.
That's his power. Reverse psychology. He freaked out Werner.
He was like, this is because you're angry at your parents, isn't it?
He was like, what? And the kid just took off.
No.
Or Andrew is Lash.
Or Andrew is Lash.
That kid. Oh, man.
That's a pie in the sky.
There are a lot of things being said right now. All right. although as heartbreaking as this potential plot point is, I think it's really going to affect May's standing, obviously, with Hunter because he made the conscious decision to put her husband in danger, but also probably with the rest of S.H.I.E.L.D. for not being able to save him, one, and not being able to get there before Hunter blew it.
But also, she asked Coulson to get there. I mean, I know this all happened so quickly, but, I mean, had Coulson been there, he would have also been in danger.
I think if... We are assuming... We're just going to assume that he's dead. I don't think he is. If we're assuming that, I think it might push her actually back into S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, where now it's like, okay, I'm going to come back. I'm going to use your resources. We're going to go after Hydra. That kind
of
thing.
Do you want a back? Would you like a back?
Of course. Yes. Absolutely.
Wow.
She's one of our favorites.
Yeah, okay.
She's fantastic. We actually had a comment on the hashtag. I'm having trouble finding it now. But the long and short of it was just how great was the look on Ward's face when May came charging in.
It was
a pretty, like, yeah. Oh, we're in trouble now.
Like, actually. I didn't plan for this.
Yeah. It was like a bad how she day. Came in and immediately took out five people.
Yeah.
I mean, he did plan for it, though. Like, he had people, like, on Andrew, like, ready to go.
Basically,
like, it's a threat to S.H.I.E.L.D., but S.H.I.E.L.D. does the math on it. Like, it's one guy versus, like, what can we do here? May is the only one that would tip the scale the other direction.
Yeah.
That's true.
But it begs a question for me about Ward is what his end game is. Like, he's not... He doesn't strike me as the old school Hydra, like, take over the world. That doesn't seem like his game. So what is he after? It's not. Is it? It doesn't seem. It seem like it could be as simple as revenge. This is reforming Hydra is too big to just be an ant to be take down S.H.I.E.L.D.
Maybe it's to replace S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, since S.H.I.E.L.D. is not like with the United States government, like if he like makes this organization and is like, hey, U.S. government, we could do a better job than S.H.I.E.L.D. does. Like, that kind of thing. That's why he's kind of implementing those S.H.I.E.L.D. protocols, that kind of stuff. Call it Hammer.
Yeah.
that kind of thing.
I mean, keep... If you swap out, like, Ward as a villain instead of Norman Osborn,
yeah.
then it
it's
fits.
Almost the exact same yeah. thing, yeah.
Yeah. No, that would be very intriguing to see if that's what Hydra becomes. I'm curious, though, because especially having, again, worked on the show, when you guys are filming an action sequence like this, it must be, it's probably really challenging because it's a lot more intensive having to do it step by step by step, and then it all gets edited in a really quickly way.
Yeah, you watch the show and you see the stunts and it lasts seconds. And we're there 14, 15 hours over and over again. And I remember throwing the table through the window a couple of times, and one time it went through. Clean. But it did.
Escape through that.
That was the idea. The second time it didn't. It hit the roof. It hit someone on the roof. We need to be, and you've got to keep putting sheets of glass in.
Were they not putting blasting caps on the window?
We used glass.
Oh, wow.
We used
a
special type of glass.
Oh, okay. The sugar glass, right?
No.
Yeah.
No. It did cut you. It could cut you.
Oh, ooh. Wow. Interesting.
There was injuries, and jumping out of those windows a few times, get it right. And, in any stunt, there's a danger in any stunts. I like doing my own stunts. I've done them for 15 years. I used to be a gladiator, like a British gladiator, and we climbed up walls and
that's
doing awesome. All
that. That's so cool.
So, it was that doing that kind of thing is what I like. But and it kind of breaks up the day. And if you're just doing dialogue all day, like, I want to do some action, falling asleep here, come on.
So when they say jump out the window, you're like, how high?
Yeah, I'll do it.
You're already through it.
You have a stunt double there, there's a guy there to do it for you, but I like being able to do it all. They'll use the stunt person, but, sometimes his jump might be better than mine, or vice versa, so can use the real thing.
Do you find that helps you get into character when you're physically doing the stuff that the character has to go through?
For me, I like it. It just keeps you awake.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're just droning off dialogue all the time and then somebody steps in and does all the action stuff and then you step back and you kind of, oh, what? I just jumped out of a window. Oh, yeah, okay.
it's hurry up and wait.
Yeah.
And you have to wait for the next one.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, so it's much better because you know what you've just done.
Yeah.
And it's easy to go on to the next scene then because you know what you've been doing, definitely for me, I prefer it. Sometimes production companies, depending on how big they are, they won't let you do some stunts because it's too dangerous. And there's only one of you, and if you get injured, then you've kind of messed up the whole production.
That's
yeah.
true.
So you've got to weigh it up.
You got to walk it off at that point.
No, I got injuries. I remember when we were doing I think it was last week's episode that was on TV, when I was getting out of the water, doing the rats, putting the rats on the boat. And it was quite a quick scene, but it was really funny, actually, because I remember sitting on the back of the boat before I got in the water and the camera's around the corner and on the boat, and I heard the director say, okay, Daz, get in the water. And as he said it, a seal popped his head out. Big seal. I wouldn't say aw. Big seal. And it was literally 5 feet away from me. And I was sitting on the phone, I'm not getting in the water. But eventually I got in. And climbing in and out and in and out, and on the back of a boat, it's not smooth; it's gritty for grip.
Yeah,
it's got all those ridges.
So
yeah.
I have got scars on my knees now.
That was
In and out. So it might look smooth, but a lot of times it's not so smooth.
You just have to grin through the pain.
Just get on with it. You just got to get on with it. Otherwise,
it's the motto for the show.
And I mean, cool battle scars. You're like, yeah, I do my own stunts.
Yeah.
Before we move on, we should talk a little bit about iTunes. Zach, by any chance, do you have... Oh, yes. Way to be on top of it.
Oh,
folks,
yeah.
Thank you so, so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to leave a rating and a comment. You guys are just the best. You guys say the sweetest, kindest things, and it is literally the highlight of my week anytime I go to look at it. And for those of you who are international, we know that you guys comment and contribute, too, and as well as leaving comments on YouTube and... In the live chat, we really, really appreciate it.
Yeah. Be sure to tweet take a picture of your review of your international and send it to us so we know it's there.
We've got a couple of them. They're really awesome.
Yeah, this last week we had people from, a person from Malta and someone from Portugal reach
out
to us. Yeah.
That just makes me
smile like the coolest thing.
So big. D-Dur 12, fun times, 5 stars. This is one of the more enjoyable AfterBuzz shows. All hosts have such a knowledge of the source material and genuinely love the show. They can be serious, show us dry humor, and make us think about things we may have missed in an episode. The hosts often go on tangents, but it is never too crazy or zany. Fitzsimmons AF says, amazing. Absolutely love you guys. Listening to you guys after the show is definitely one of the highlights of my week. I love how you are all engaging, entertaining, and knowledgeable of what you speak, and it truly helps me catch up on things I may not have seen or thought about. Let's get more reviews. Let's beat Scandal.
Yes!
We only need 110 more.
We'll have to offer some sort of incentive like we did last season.
Yeah, we'll figure something out.
We'll find that seal.
Phil Coulson's left hand is back. Rosalind, you insensitive jerk. And no, I don't feel bad for you, Phil. I feel bad for me. Seriously. Disarming. Can't wait to see what else is up your sleeve. I'm going to have to blow through these. There's so many. Kurt GR says, love it. I love all the background given out in this show. I knew about the Golem mythos going back a few weeks, but I hadn't connected the month until you guys did it. PTeach32 says, definitely a favorite. I listen to quite a few AfterBuzz shows, and this is definitely a favorite. I love how the hosts are so excited each week, and the fan interaction has always been stellar. I found this podcast and watched all of season 1 and 2. I love listening to all of you talk about the show and love the enthusiasm. And lastly, LV4Tuna says, incredible job every week. It's tough to say this is my favorite show on AfterBuzz since every show I watch pretty much stars this great panel. The amount of knowledge and passion you bring to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is all of your AfterBuzz shows is just awesome, and it's so cool to hear all of your views and opinions on stuff I love.
Cool.
Awesome.
You guys are, again, the highlight of my week. You guys are just the best. Before we get back to... I want to talk about Simmons and Bobby and Fitz in this episode, because they had a lot of really interesting, meaty stuff. But speaking of them, we have another question for you from the hashtag. Haywood wants to know, who would you like to do a scene with the cast that you haven't gotten to yet?
That's a really good question. Because you don't know who I've had scenes with.
We don't. You can't completely lie. If you have a scene with Coulson next episode, you could say, oh, yeah, I would love to hang out with Clark Gregg in a scene. Like, that would be amazing.
Oh, wow. That's.
Trust us, anyone you say, we're not going to assume that it's happened yet.
Yeah, you're not going to know, are you?
Nope. You have all the power in this scenario.
Flash.
That would be awesome. Oh, what if it's already happened?
We don't know. Everyone on the internet, calm down.
Oh, man, we are going to get so many comments. Anyway, let's talk about Bobby and Simmons and Fitz. I love Bobby having to work with Fitz in the field because she's still out of commission with her recovery and being in rehab. Because Simmons is kind of working on her own pet project, trying to figure out how to get back to wherever she's been for the last however many months, but she's keeping it a secret, and Bobby's the only one that knows.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Poor Bobby is caught in the middle because Fitz doesn't understand why Gemma's acting this way.
Although, I like her advice because it's coming from a place of realization for her. I think the relationship between Fitz and Simmons is probably to a degree similar to what she went through with Bobby. So seeing Fitz suffer
maybe reminded her of how her relationship was with Bobby. So she's advising, you know, Gemma to talk about it, or Fitz to hear things from her, and like to not have a middleman come between them to talk about the things that they need to discuss themselves. So I liked it. And her concern for Bobby, you know.
Well, secrets is what heartwarming pretty much tore them apart.
Exactly.
At last season. So yeah, that makes complete and total sense that she would just be like, be honest, guys.
Yeah. She's like, I'm tired of this. She even told Gemma, like, just stop talking to me about this. Enough. And that Fitz is being a pain in her butt. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I liked these little character moments, because as much as I want to see Mockingbird out in the field and kicking ass, it's cool to see her interact with characters she didn't necessarily get the chance to interact with last season, Fitz primarily.
Yeah, and I like that they're kind of highlighting that she's a scientist as well. Like, it's not just, like, some field agent who's out there kicking butt. Like, she's also incredibly intelligent. Although she can't figure out that blue stands for biological. I mean, how hard is that?
It makes a lot of sense, I gotta say.
It does, it does.
She's new to the system, guys.
We have a lot of fans who have theories that that Gemma is a Skrull, which, for those of you who don't know, in the Marvel Universe, it's a shape-shifting alien that a lot of times were sleeper cells. they didn't know that they were aliens until, like, they got activated. They thought they were the person that they were impersonating. They had all of their memories. They kind of had all of the experiences they'd had. And then when they got activated, they're like, oh, no, I'm here to attack you. A lot of people had, like, theories because last episode things were bright and things were loud. Like, she wasn't used to it. Like, maybe she wasn't used to...
Like she's not accustomed to this because it's Earth and she's an alien.
Yeah.
Not just that she's been through a traumatic ordeal.
Yes. I appreciate it because I would love there to be Skrulls. I don't think she is, especially with the preview for the next episode.
Yeah, I don't think she's a Skrull for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
That's a huge storyline to burn on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think they're saving that for like 2025 Secret Avengers movie.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe even the Inhumans movie. Who knows?
Yeah, but it's also there's also some questions about the rights.
No, Skrulls are...
Is it?
Yeah, Marvel has the rights to Skrulls. They do not have the rights to Super Skrulls. Super Skrulls are Skrulls that have the powers of the Fantastic Four, specifically Kill Earth, and like Power Skrulls as well. They don't have the rights to
like any of the ones that can use
like the powers. Yeah,
okay.
Guys, wow. I swear I've had sex before. I've never sounded so nerdy. Like, I can't believe I said all of those words together.
Okay, moving on.
Good for you. Good for you, mate.
Thank you.
Good job.
But I think that's all in the world.
That's so amazing.
I think to move it back to the
yes.
show.
Yeah. Please do.
I think that Gemma was having trouble adjusting because like she was in an alien environment for several months, and just being in a different environment, when you come back into a clean room of any kind, your body just needs to adjust. They even said that the gravity was higher on that planet.
Yeah, completely different.
I spent a week in the woods with no... Guys, okay. I spent a week in the woods.
I went on a camping trip once.
With like no materials, basically, and survived in the woods for another show. And like just coming back and like going to a hotel room after being like in negative 12 degree weather in a hut that you made with your friends was extremely weird and traumatic. Like, I slept on the floor the first day because the bed was too soft.
Interesting.
And I think if Gemma's a Skrull, it kind of takes away from some really interesting, like, character development that she's going through.
And some interesting commentary on, like, actually dealing with PTSD.
Yeah.
Because that's something that she, in this really brief scene that we had with her and Andrew, where he's giving her counsel, she's denying. She's like, I know what you're doing, and that's not what I have, even though that's clearly what she's going through.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know what I was going to say. I was going to reiterate the idea that there are so many characters in the show that are suffering from some sort of post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah, loss is a really big theme this season.
And it could
so
be
far.
Something as simple as, well, not simple, but something as like what Bobby's going through, like not being able, not being on the field, you know. But
yeah,
there are obviously
adjustment.
Like varying degrees of what they're going through.
Yeah, I mean, it's just recovery for everyone. Mm-hmm. They went through a lot of devastating things last season, so now a lot of just life changing moments, like for every character. Coulson lost a hand. Daisy is Quake now.
And not Sky.
Yeah, she changed her name. Yeah.
Well, she lost also her parents again, essentially.
Yeah, she found and lost them.
Yeah, which is even worse.
Yeah. But I have to wonder, like, what is holding Simmons back from bringing Fitz in? Like, she does by the end of the episode. But, like, was it fear that he wouldn't understand her need to go back? Do you think that, do you guys think that's what it was?
It could be that. It could also just be that, you know, it's nobody would understand the need to go back because nobody knows what she went through. And we'll find out next week what she went through. But, like, again, when you go through something like that, you don't expect anybody from, like, the hotel staff to understand why you're not sleeping on the bed.
Sure, yeah.
You know, that sort of thing.
I also think
because I reminded them enough.
Well, also, because Simmons knows what Fitz will go through to make sure she's okay.
Yeah, like, he was the one that saved her.
I think if she were to tell him immediately that she wanted to go back, that maybe she was afraid he would jump on the idea and, like, go along with her, and she didn't want to risk it.
Or the idea that he would resent her for it because he's like, I worked so hard to bring you back.
I wonder if this will be the one time Fitz is not on board with what she wants to do.
I think it probably depends on what she tells him.
We also got some little information where when Andrew's talking to her and he's talking about the miners, because we had thought maybe there were people back on this planet. Like, that she had to go and, like, help rescue. She had said, like, well, they had each other to depend on. So there weren't any other survivors where she was, as far as that goes. I know a lot of people were thinking, like, maybe she had, like, a group of people. Like, that guy that we saw from the past, like, was still there or something like that.
Like, again, that there was some weird space-time thing going on.
But it seems like she was mostly alone there.
If not entirely alone, except for whatever predator was there.
Hunting her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we are running a little short on time. Is there anything else you guys want to discuss about tonight's episode before we move into predictions and a few more questions for our awesome guest?
I actually wanted to know, we were talking a lot about, you know, backstories and comic books. I want to know if, Daz, you did any research before getting on the show. And by research, I mean, did you read any of the comic books that might correlate with the show?
Not with S.H.I.E.L.D., no. I'd watched a couple of episodes before I actually auditioned. And so I kind of knew bits and pieces. I could see that there were lots of different stories going on. And I was watching the different characters and trying to see, you know, where each character was going in relationships and things like this. So when I auditioned and could see that I knew what my character was, and it was mainly with Ward, but I didn't know that at the time. I just knew it was with Ward, and I knew what Ward was about. So that helped me develop my arc with the relationship with Ward.
Cool.
So that was all I did, but I had not read any of the comic book. I mean, I read Spider-Man when I was a kid, you know, and Fantastic Four, but not S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
So this is all new and all exciting.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I actually find it actually quite fascinating now as an actor and now being involved in such a huge thing. It's very interesting seeing the dynamics of the people where you guys come from to what we deliver. And you know, it's disconnected, but there's a connect at the same time, because you don't know where it's going to go.
Nope.
And I feel like I'm right in the middle right now. And that's what's quite funny. And I'm like, okay. And you know, but as long as you, I think, you know, for as a professional, we want you to connect with us, and then we've done our job. That's how I feel. And so, and I can see it's working.
Yeah, clearly.
Well, you saw our reaction at the end of the show. Yeah. You guys are doing a damn good job.
Yeah.
I threw my note.
Son of a... But since we were talking about a lot of themes going on in this season, I want to know, in terms of, like, you watching the show, what's been your favorite theme so far this season?
I like the mystery. I do like mystery. I like watching it and then I'm wondering, like you guys, but I don't verbalize it. I kind of keep it to myself. okay. Because there's so many avenues, so many stories. So, I mean, you know, I like the Bobby story, you know. I like that one and that. Wonder where that's going to go and how the, you know, what they're going to do with her. And you know, there's just little bits and pieces of, like, and you know, when Coulson loses his arm, and then okay, it's funny because I was in a movie where I lost an arm and I got superpowers with that, so I connected with him. Totally different thing, but you know, so story wise, I don't know. There's just I get favorites each week.
Yeah,
you know, every couple of weeks, I'm like, okay, I'm going to move to this story now, and I'm going to focus on this story and let them go, you know, because some stories are stronger than others, and you know, but they do that on purpose, you know, so they can keep everybody, you know, up there.
No, the writers do a really good job of balancing everything out so that you're not like overwhelmed one week with everything.
I think the writers are absolutely brilliant. You know, I've worked on a lot of projects, and this particular one, you know, there are quite a lot of writers, 10, 12 writers, so, and they're just great at what they do. It's just, you know, to keep everybody on their toes and intrigued all the time, it's just very clever.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's really clever. And think, yeah, wow, this... you don't know how they... You know, when I'm talking to the guys on set and they say things to me, I think, now I know why I'm not a writer. I just couldn't think of, you know... I think I've got a good imagination, but... These guys, they are out of the world. It's out of the world.
Well, that makes two of us.
That's excellent. We should probably go ahead and move into predictions for next week.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Oh, we didn't get the light show. Well, I guess we got to hurry. So, next week, it looks like it's all about what Simmons went through on the alien planet. Do you guys think we're going to find out where in the galaxy she was, or... You know, obviously we're going to see what she went through, but do you guys think we're going to get any definitive answers?
I think we have to. They sort of like teased us with episode 2 is going to have all of the big answers, and like it sort of did in that we like got to see it so we could start theorizing, but they set this up as like the answers episode for Simmons, like backstory for off season.
Yeah,
I feel like we'll figure out what this blue filter planet is.
It is. It's just all blue. It's ridiculous.
Very blue. It's like a Zack Snyder film.
It sort of looked to me, this is like Simmons does Castaway.
A little bit.
Yeah, because she's got like the spear and she's hunting something in
she's
the water.
Diving in the water. Yeah. Castaway, Hala edition.
Here's the question. Is it going to just be Simmons on the planet, or are we also going to, say, go back to Earth and have to have, you know, Hunter have an awkward conversation with May? You know, find out maybe where Reward ran off to.
I think we're gonna have a just Simmons in space episode. I think it's gonna
be. I hope so. Yeah. I feel like they have a lot to cover for what she went through.
She was there for months.
Yeah,
that would be unique.
Our time.
Yeah, we don't even know if that's
the amount
of time
she was
there
for.
Yeah, that would be unusual for S.H.I.E.L.D. though. I can't recall a single episode that will follow just one plot line.
I think it would be unique for S.H.I.E.L.D., but I think the way the writers are writing this season, like, it feels like if we had an episode where it was basically one character almost the entire episode.
A bottle episode.
Yeah, well...
It wouldn't seem out of place.
I don't mean that in a bad way, but, like, it would be in the sense of, like, just focusing in on one
story
location and story.
I think the writers have kind of earned that type of show this season, especially with like how they ended this episode. It feels like the next episode we're just going to start running and it's going to be her getting sucked into the obelisk, and then we're just going to see her entire run.
Yeah, I mean, I could very much... This seems actually like a good place to put everything on pause. As annoyed as I am of the idea of putting everything on pause, this is actually a good kind of stopping point for, like, okay, I'm going to tell you guys a story real quick.
It'll hold the cliffhanger of, is Andrew dead? Cliffhanger of, like, what happened to Ward and Kibo? Like, where did they go?
And, like, we could lock the door. There's one person in this room. He's an Olympic level boxer. Yes.
Guys, he's only 3 feet taller than us. We can take him. It's no big deal. I think that basically wraps it up in terms of our predictions. There are a lot of different things that could happen, and we cannot wait.
Sure.
And kudos to you, Daz. You have an excellent poker face.
Like I said, it's just great. Because there's a gazillion options, there's a gazillion avenues that you can go down because there's so much going on, and it's very interesting sitting here listening to you guys discuss.
Like, wow, they're way off. Very close.
But it's just great because I can't say a word.
Well, can you tell us about any other upcoming projects that you're currently working on?
Yes, I can do that. Actually, that's quite easy.
that don't have a million NDAs.
That's right, yeah. I've just released a movie called Awaken, which we shot in Belize last year, which is a thriller about human trafficking, human organs.
And, wow.
And basically what it is a people around the world get kidnapped and drugged and wake up on an island. Don't know where they are. There's a group of people on another island a mile away are the bad guys, and the group that are waiting basically for orders. So let's say you need an order comes in for a heart or a lung. The bad guys would come over, pick somebody off, take them, cut the bits out, kill them.
Dang.
Right, so during my journey is I escape, but I'm still on the island, but I escape the group, and there are cameras everywhere on the island, and a heroine, a girl comes on, and another guy, three of us, and we try to get off the island, but in the meantime, we need to get one more person who's with the bad guys before we can, but then there's lots of twists and turns, and it doesn't go the way you think it's very, very good because there's so many twists and turns, and
awesome.
So that's great. That's Awaken. I shot another movie last year and I can't remember what the name of it. It's just come out with Scott Eastwood. I can't remember the name of it now. It's on IMDb. It's literally just come out. I know, because I keep working, and I shot an earlier
it's good to keep busy.
Yes, earlier this year shot another movie, Armageddon. A sci-fi movie. We actually shot that down in Salton Sea where they shot Star Wars.
That'd be cool. Dawn Patrol, I believe, is the movie.
That was on with Scott Eastwood, yeah. that's a cool... I like the script of that one. I remember reading the script, and it's set in the Far East, in Saudi, and in California. And Scott comes back from the military, and he's done something bad, and he has to describe the story to a woman her son got killed out there, and he needs to describe it all, what went wrong, and I'm the lady's protector, so I'm always in between, you know. That's another story. There's so much because there's so many different things I've been working on. I'm trying to remember all the different characters in Armageddon. Which should come out, I think, at the end of this year or early next year.
Cool.
That's a sci-fi, and I'm in jail on a planet somewhere on another planet.
It's awesome.
And my girlfriend from another planet comes to save me. That's it's a kind of a cross between Star Wars and War of the Worlds.
That's cool.
Would describe it, yeah. Which is really cool. Yeah, I really liked working on that project. We shot that this year. That, like I say, it takes a year to
Brown.
Yeah, no, and that's always really tough because it takes so long being in post and then distribution and everything
that's
like
right,
that.
Before everything could, because you forget, you know, and then somebody's, oh, sorry,
like, oh, yeah,
movie.
I was in that.
Yeah, I did that one.
I think I jumped out a window on that one.
Yeah. What did I do? What was I in that one again?
Where'd I get all these scars?
So, yeah, and, you know, I'm, you know, you're busy reading other scripts and, it's just, you know, I like having diversity. Hollywood is quite stereotypical. They go on your physicality. Oh, you're a big guy, you can be a villain, you can kill people, it's okay. You know, they don't give you the lawyer or the doctor, or, you know, the little boy in the corner crying. But I think they're more powerful. If you sit me in a corner crying, it's a lot more powerful than me killing somebody. Because you know, if it's a comedy, it's even better.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's busy and I'm having a great time, you know, over here. I try and get my trips back to England, but I've been so busy I haven't been able to get back for a few months now. So hopefully I might be able to try and get a trip for Christmas or whatever.
Hopefully. Awesome.
Maybe Ward can lend you the Hydra bus.
Yeah.
He's probably building one.
He's got to be.
Yeah, there's so many secrets. He keeps popping me with secrets. He never tells me.
Bus that's amphibious.
England's lovely, so I hope you get the chance to go back soon.
For
a little bit, and then come back to work.
Just friends, you know, and then I'll come back again.
That's good. Well, do you guys have any other questions? We're running super late, so we should probably wrap up. Yeah. Do you guys have any more questions?
No, I'm good.
Just thank you so much for joining us tonight. Yeah.
It's been great,
this
you guys.
Cool.
You guys, it's honestly, it's like I like watching the show. I like watching a TV show. This is great.
We get very passionate.
You can tune in every week.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell your friends on set.
I will do.
Although, as a warning, we tend to get ship happy every now and then.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, well, guys, thank you guys so much for tuning in. It's always a pleasure. And thank you again, Jazz. It was fantastic talking to you. Jesse, where can people go if they want to find out more?
You can find me on Twitter at JessKlein1. In November, I'll be doing AKA Jessica Jones with Zach over here.
Oh, yeah.
And you can find me doing local comedy all around here in L.A. This Friday, I'm going to be at UCB doing their Hell in the Cell special show.
Cool.
I'll probably be getting hit with steel chairs. So if you like that...
I'm thinking you're going to say, like... pies or
no,
steel like
chairs.
Goo. Nope.
Yeah.
Not fake blood.
You
chairs.
Are dedicated, man.
It's fine.
Zach.
Thank you so much for geeking out with us tonight, guys. I'm Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter at ThatZachWilson, ThatZachWilson. And if you're a big fan of Back to the Future, tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., October 21st, 2015, tune into the Popcorn Talk, AfterBuzz's sister network, where you can join me and a couple other fellow AfterBuzzers as we're going to do a watch-along, like a sort of a riff track style thing for the first two Back to the Future movies, starting at 9 a.m.
Awesome.
Tomorrow, Pacific Standard Time.
It's going to be so cool.
Joyce.
Well, thanks for watching tonight, you guys. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for some behind-the-scenes snaps at Jay Ajuri. That's J-A-J-O-U-R-I. And on the Sunday Night Podcast for The Walking Dead.
Daz, is there anywhere people can go online to keep up with all these projects that you're working on?
Obviously, I'm on Facebook, so Daz Crawford is easy to remember. And Twitter is Daz Crawford. Everything's Daz Crawford. If you just Google Daz Crawford, you'll find me.
Super easy.
You want to follow me. Yeah.
Fantastic. Cool. I'm Megan Salinas, guys. You can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN. I also do a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for the Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 K's. Be sure to check those out. Des, thank you so much again for joining us tonight, and thank you guys all for tuning in. We will see you all next time. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.